Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the original stunt man himself, Rich Stamboli.
Stuntman Mike.
You are Stuntman. Was that your name? Stuntman Mike?
Yeah, Stuntman Mike from Death Proof. What's going on, dude?
Dude, a lot is going on.
I'm here for you.
I had a very, this week has not been my personal life, right? Like, not in wrestling stuff. It's been very hectic. We did the watch along on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big event at one of my venues in the city.
I saw.
So that was a very, very big deal. And it kind of exhausted everybody mentally and physically.
Wasn't the big sign in the back of that city event, I came, I saw, and I came again?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. It's all over Manhattan. I've had a really hectic week. But man, yesterday was a blockbuster news week. I did a show on Tuesday, obviously, one of my new shows that we're doing here. And also we're adding another show. I got to talk to Rich about this to see if he wants to be part of it. And Rich's camera's starting to break here because it turned off and turned back on. Look at that.
I already said yes to that second show, by the way.
You did?
Yeah, you talked to me last week about it.
The interview one.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, good.
Yo, where's your brain at, man?
Dude, it's all over the place right now.
Yeah, today is Thursday, July 20-something, 2021.
We're in the future.
Are you in 2019 right now?
I'm still in 2019. So a lot's going on. Rich, tell me, how was your birthday weekend? Tell me while I fix your camera.
I feel like my skin is PTSD from the sun, to be honest with you. Like, I was out like all week last week and there was a heat wave in New York. I feel like I was the last one to know about it because I was unceremoniously outside every single day. I had to spend yesterday pretty much in a dark room.
Jesus.
Like, I was like knocked out, man. Like,
why
I'm so pink.
The tanner the better for me.
Listen, man, my skin does not pick up a tan at all. Like, my arms do, but like my face and my ding dong.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing.
Perpetually dark, but you know, nothing.
All right. So, I guess we should go into this story. This is the big, big, big story here. I'll begin with the last one. And that is the Bryan Danielson story.
Okay.
Oh, you thought I was going into October, didn't you?
I thought you were going into October.
No, not yet.
I would not have survived that news.
Not to start the show. Well, we couldn't get to anything else if we started with that. But Bryan Danielson, obviously Daniel Bryan, WWE superstar, world-class professional wrestler. It's being reported that he has signed with AEW. Now, do you want to go into it? Bodyslam.net. Is reporting this. You want to go into who's reporting and what you think? I want to get your opinion on
this. So Cassidy Haynes from Bodyslam.net has reported this. This has not been confirmed, quote unquote, officially. What's kind of cool is that his return might be at that Arthur Ashe show in Queens, which we'll be at.
Yeah.
And I can't believe you managed to snag those tickets.
I did snag
them. Thank you.
Oh, you were shocked, right?
Dude, I was shocked. I was so shocked.
I called in a favor.
Andrew got $80 tickets that... Within 15 minutes of these tickets being on sale, they went for $350 each, which is effing bananas. Yeah. So, for Daniel Bryan to show up at what? This is going to be 17,000 people?
Probably. Let's say
between 10 and 17.
No. It's 17.5 right now.
Okay.
It's going up. Right now, they've sold about 17,000. I think secondhand market has about 1,000 tickets for sale, and I believe there's like another 12. Last I checked, I mean, obviously this changes every day, but there was like 1,200 actual tickets or 900 actual tickets, something like
okay.
that. But it's going to be a sellout.
So here's two things that if this is true and Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, listen, if he shows up at Arthur Ashe, he'll blow the roof off the place. I bet you it might not even be necessarily to wrestle on the spot right there. He might just come out and wave to the fans and then go to the back.
See
you Wednesday.
You know, this is getting very interesting. So I've been talking to Cassidy. So last night we were, you know, he told me he's about to drop this bomb. He did. And we were talking about this because, you know, sometimes you have to kind of piece story together.
Mm-hmm.
We all get different stories. I don't have, that's changing in a week or so,
right.
My AEW context, but I don't have a strong AEW context, so a lot of what I hear is through the WWE side of things and WWE partner side of things. One of the ways I have been able to kind of determine returns and firings and debuts and things like that is through their corporate partners.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2K, for example. I'm not saying it's 2K. I'm not saying it's Mattel. But those guys don't get kayfabed, right? You can't work those companies. So there was a lot of stories going out early in the week. Mike Johnson had a story about Daniel Bryan's merchandise packaging from for 2021-2022. There's nothing in play. He's not going to be in the video games. There's no merchandise ideas. WWE has done that in the past for negotiation purposes, where they essentially tell you, like, well, we don't have any merchandise. We're not going to sell any merchandise since we're negotiating. Or they'll entice you and say, like, listen, while we're working on this deal, why don't we work on a merchandise deal, a licensing deal on the side? And it kind of, like, that's one foot in the door for you. So now WWE kind of has an advantage in negotiation. A lot of companies do this, by the way. This isn't a WWE concept.
Right, right, right.
I've done this, right? Great example. I hired somebody about 2 weeks ago. They want a very high salary. I'm not prepared to give them that. But I did get their foot in the door by compensating something else that they could do for us.
Okay.
Until, you know, and obviously they're working way less and whatever, until that we could figure out something. It's something that happens all the time. I spoke to somebody at 2K. And if you follow the show, you know we've broken the Sting story. Right?
Yes.
It was Sting, it was Goldberg, and it was the Ultimate Warrior, all came from 2K.
Yeah.
And, I can say that now 5 years later.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the person is no longer there that I used to speak to, but, you know, generally he knew what was happening because 2K has to be prepared and know what the positioning is of this talent. So for Daniel Bryan not to be in the game, and he said, you know what was interesting? There was no option for downloadable content for him. So they said no. He was told absolutely they're not going to do that.
Wow.
Listen, this could all be a play by WWE. I can't confirm this because I haven't been told anything by anybody on an executive level or a corporate level. But last night, I spoke to a bunch of people there, and pretty much everybody's under the impression that he's heading to AEW because of all these indicators. You could piece it together. Cassidy has tremendous AEW contacts. I could tell you that about an hour and a half before Nick Gage debuted last night, he's like, hey, don't say anything, but Nick Gage is showing up in the opening segment.
We're going to talk about that, right?
So, I mean, you know, nobody was reporting that. So, you know, I have confidence in Cassidy and his track record with this stuff. So I can't personally report it, but I can say that I spoke to WWE partners, also reached out to somebody at Mattel. And there is no plans right now for anything for Daniel Bryan. Obviously, things have already been produced and things like that, but there's no long-term plans for a Daniel Bryan action figure. There's no creative plans for months. This is coming from, I've confirmed with a couple people, obviously, but this is getting very interesting. So the story is, like you said, Cassidy's reporting that the plan is for New York City. It is for that big show in Queens.
Arthur Ashe.
At Arthur Ashe Stadium.
That'd be cool, man. That'd be really, really cool. That would be a lot of fun. I think also because, like, you know this dude's going to end up being like a wrestling machine.
I don't even think he needs to be.
He doesn't need to be.
I think this is... it's too early to tell what the plan is for him. But this, there was, you know, Dave Meltzer this morning reported, and obviously it'll be in a newsletter. And I had heard this also that there were four big signings.
Right.
Two of them are big signings. And Tony Khan, he even said it during an interview that he's going to have a lot of surprises coming up and he has big debuts happening, right? Obviously, we got Andrade and we got Alistair.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get, if this is happening, it's Daniel Bryan. And this leads us into the next big story that Sean Ross Sapp, friend of the show, reported. CM Punk is in potential talks to go to AEW.
I'm very cool with that.
I, you know, in talking to Sean, and Sean was adamant, and I asked him this morning, I reached out and I said, listen, anything you want me to add or remove from this that you don't feel confident? He said, I'm going to break down your CM Punk story. Anything you want me to highlight? Just that despite what anyone is saying, it doesn't appear to be a finalized deal.
Okay.
Okay. I would say that there's more urgency. I find it interesting that the Daniel Bryan thing, I mean, personality differences too, right? Daniel Bryan thing was probably easier if he is signed.
Right.
the CM Punk thing is taking a little bit longer, but you're kind of, you got about a month and a half.
Yeah.
Because you definitely want him for Chicago.
Right, right.
If this is it, right? Or you want him that show before Chicago.
Do you think so? You think, like, to sell more pay-per-views?
I mean, the match is going to be Hangman and Omega, right? That's the match here. Mm-hmm. But how do you introduce CM Punk in a important role? I don't think if he is signed, I don't think he should come out and be like, Mark Henry goes, oh, we just signed CM Punk, here you go. And then he comes out to the Chicago crowd. I think it should be, you know, a big save.
I think it should be Kenny, not even a big save, in the pay-per-view moment, all right? Kenny beats Hangman, knockdown, drag-out match, right? Hangman loses. Kenny grabs the mic. I'm the belt collector. I am this and that.
Oh, you think Hangman will lose?
Yeah. Kenny's doing, he's still got all the belts. And then he starts yelling at the crowd that he's the best in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Yelling at the crowd. I'm the best in the world. I'm the best in the world. Crowd gets nuts. All of a sudden you hear Cult of Personality. Boom. That's how the pay-per-view goes off the air.
Yeah.
Just Punk showing up with his own music and the crowd goes effing bananas. And maybe they have like a schmoz fist fight or something.
Yeah. Listen, I could tell you, you know, if things always could change, right? Mm-hmm. If Daniel Bryan is not signed, you know, having this news speculate up and down and WWE seeing how it's gauging and how people are talking, they may throw everything that this man wanted. I don't think that's going to be the case. In knowing, you know, people that know Bryan Danielson really well, he's not a guy that's out for money. Mm-hmm. He wants, obviously, comfort for his family, and that's going to play a big part. He doesn't want to be on the road like that. He wants to spend time with his family. I think he realizes what's important in life, and he's 40 years old. So if he could wrestle and make a huge impact in the business and have this great career, not being part of this traveling circus mm-hmm. of working, you know, four nights a week or three nights a week like that, I think he's going to want to take that. Same goes for CM Punk. CM Punk is, you know, he's a couple years older than Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. He's in his 40s as well. You only have a couple years to do this. And if you are, you know, for CM Punk, for someone that was burned the wrong way by WWE, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying that his point of view is correct here, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know his point of view because he lived it, not me. If everything that he says he still feels, he really wants to stick it to these people. And what better way to do it with this, you know, now this confidence in this company. I think you were the one, you read it. I mean, when this story was happening originally with CM Punk, you had said that part of the thing about him was that he didn't want to go to a company that didn't have legs.
Right. And like people to wrestle. I think that's a big thing.
Or
too.
People
it's
to
like,
wrestle.
If I'm going to wrestle, I want to wrestle people. I also feel like, again, this is just like hearsay and how I feel as a fan, but I also feel like, listen, it's probably a sweetheart deal that this guy might get. He might say, hey, listen, put me on every other Dynamite. I don't want to do house shows. Maybe I'll do the rare house show and give me a trailer so I don't have to talk to anybody because I don't know if anybody wants to talk to me.
I think he's going to be a lot of the CM Punk's an a-hole mm-hmm. conversation. It's not true. You know what I mean? Like he's not walking around starting fights in the locker room with mm-hmm. people and stuff like that. By the way, we got a great comment by Matthew. I've always really liked this show. Now that I know that there's a framed glass houses in the studio, I like it even more. There you go. There's my Billy Joel. There's my Billy Joel album cover coming to play.
There's your first Billy Joel break, guys.
Bro. You want to hear my Billy Joel?
Please.
Ah, you went uptown riding in your limousine.
Is that Cal Channing?
It's Cal. Do you know what that song is about? Mick Jagger's wife at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Doing a little.
She was a bad girl, and he. I think Christie Brinkley was annoyed by her showing off constantly. Wow. We got a $10 tip. You want to read this? All Elite Podcast with a $10 super chat. We'll he could cut in line.
Hey guys, Kyle and Tiff here from AEP. Just stopping by and showing our support for you two. We appreciate all the hard work you put in and keep up the good work.
Same to you guys.
Love you both. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. All Elite Podcast. Go check them out, please. They do a good job.
You're upsetting Joel Pearl. He said he used to love Billy Joel. And after you're ruining Billy Joel.
I'm going to go to war with Joel Pearl now.
Why?
He's going to be my enemy.
How come?
You cannot say anything bad about Billy. Listen, I don't want to hear that he crashed his car multiple times in neighbors' homes in Long Island. I don't want to hear about that.
What's your favorite Billy Joel song? Uptown Girl, isn't it?
No. Zanzibar.
Okay.
Love Zanzibar. Mm-hmm. Love Down East Alexa. Vienna. Uh-huh. I love Vienna. There's too many.
How many times have you seen Billy Joel?
About 11.
Did you see him at the residency?
Yeah, MSG? A bunch of times. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, a bunch of times. I saw him at a hole in a wall downtown Manhattan. I know we've, by the way, guys, if this is the first time you've come to the show, this is what we do. I'm sorry. I saw him downtown in front of like 40 people one time.
Wow.
And it was the most, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We were just drinking. He was like talking to everybody, playing the piano. Unbelievable. Super intimate.
Like the song.
Yeah.
He was the piano.
He
man.
Was the piano. Wow. People were playing him. He just laid on a bar. We all just like went on his belly like this.
I don't think that was Billy Joel.
No. So listen, let's talk about CM Punk now, right?
Yeah, please.
That story is fascinating to me. I think it came out of left field. We hear the CM Punk returning stories left and right. This is, you know, the big story. The people reporting this, in my eyes, they're not nobodies.
Right, exactly.
I know Sean pretty well and how he does his due diligence with saying stuff. He made it very clear that he has not been able to confirm this, but he felt the need to put, you know, that it's happening. So he feels confident enough to report on something, but can't confirm that it's a done deal or anything like that. Listen, this is a very interesting time, and this is pivotal. Few of the things that I've heard regarding the AEW side is that they want to make a huge impact for this coming year.
Absolutely.
2022, and WWE as well. You know, WWE and AEW have gotten really competitive because they've realized that this is a unique opportunity to start over.
Right.
And the mistakes that you made prior to the pandemic no longer matter.
Yeah, it's a restart. We've been talking about this restart for a while. I think Sunday's Money in the Bank was a pretty decent example.
Well, Friday was a good example, right?
Friday was a good example. Friday Night SmackDown. The Punk thing I always find interesting because at this point it's been 7 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's the other part, right? He hasn't wrestled in 7 years.
So either he's super fit and healthy.
I think he's very super fit and healthy. I think there's a lot of discussion about ring rust. When you've wrestled at that level, it's a rarity for you to come back and be like, well, you kind of missed the step without injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about the CM Punk stock, you know, being down because he lost those fights. You know, it's fascinating how the internet turned on him.
Oh yeah, dude.
Like it went from he did that podcast in November. He dropped it. What was it? Thanksgiving. He dropped that podcast with Colt Cabana. And he was really like this outspoken, you know, voice of the internet for about 2 weeks.
And then people turned on him.
And then people turned on him because they realized that he's not coming back and people get very disappointed and they get angry. Listen, having a CM Punk on anybody's roster is a huge asset. Yes. Same thing for Bryan Danielson. Is this, you know, the moment for AEW? Will September change the course a little bit?
It definitely helps them, especially with the content that they're putting out, right? Like, why not? Because they have Rampage, you're going to have Dynamite, you have Elevation, and you have Dark. You have four shows that they're putting on.
Yeah.
You know, you can easily divvy up your new talent and old talent and veterans and, you know, just have like a nice mix of people. Tony Khan is creating a very interesting sandbox, you know, and especially with the relationships between other companies. Now, if Daniel Bryan signs with AEW, who's to say he won't show up in New Japan or Impact, which would be kind of cool, right?
Well, we saw that deal, right? At the end of Impact, there was a bumper, and it showed all the companies working together, which is interesting. You know, we've spoken about this. Part of that concept for All In was to eventually move this into this WrestleMania type event with multiple promotions playing a part in it, and you know, like. Think about there's a lot of great what ifs you could do here, which I don't want to. We have so much to get to, and I don't want to do right now.
Yeah.
But there's so many what ifs you could do. You know, a Cody CM Punk match, which I think would be blockbuster, considering that they kind of teased some heat with that early negotiation a year ago.
Oh, forget it.
You know, you have Bryan Danielson, you have Andrade, you have a really unique stack roster with tremendous talent. Now you just got to do it the right way. When we get to the AEW conversation, I'm going to get to some of the complaints about last night because a lot of people are noticing this roster is really full.
Stacked.
And it seems a little cluttered, and it seems like there's a ton of parallel booking happening here, which a lot of people don't like, which we'll get into. But
which is fine.
So let me just see here, Rich. CM Punk negotiation possibly for a return, talking to AEW. Sean Ross Sapp, obviously, a Fightful reporting this. Well, very interesting stuff.
Let me ask you something real quick before we get off the CM Punk topic.
Yeah.
A lot of people are kind of like lukewarm on the guy for some reason. What do you remember most about?
I do want to tell people, by the way. I want to say this, but yeah. I do want to say, I have a kind of a big story that I'm going to talk about in a couple minutes here. So if you're watching this, stay tuned, because I'm gonna, you know, everybody's getting a little risky. I would normally sit on this till it's closer to the day, but I'll talk about it today.
It's coming.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rich. Sorry. So the biggest moment that I remember for him.
What do you remember from Punk? Like, what stands out at you?
I was at his debut.
Okay.
At the Hammerstein in ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, you know, there was a lot of speculation about him that day where nobody's going to react to him. When that man showed up and he beat Justin Credible, that building was on fire. Like, everybody there knew. Obviously, he only had like a couple thousand people there, but I knew he was a hot act.
He was the internet.
I think the biggest problem with CM Punk was that, and this is, by the way, guys, I'm going to date myself. We're talking 20 years ago now, okay? We're going to go back 20 years. In 2001 or 2000, I started hearing all about this guy, CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk. Then 2002, 2003, everybody was talking about this guy's the future. He's a future guy. He's like Austin. He has that attitude. He's this age. And then he debuted. And then people saw him and they're like, oh, that's who he was? I think people envisioned like this jacked up guy that was kind of like a martial artist.
I think they imagined Steve Austin.
Because remember, this is before, we're still in the forum days, right? Like, before videos are being circulated and pictures are getting posted. Like, you don't really get a good gauge of this guy.
Mm.
But immediately, when WWE got a hold of him, they're like, oh, this is him? So I think he had a bad start.
Yeah.
But honestly, his biggest moment was that pipe bomb.
But like, I think
in WWE,
I think if you let this guy talk how he wants to talk, he'll make money for AEW wherever he goes.
Yeah.
For the next few years.
He could be a huge heel too.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Can you imagine?
That'd be amazing. Ryan Martins, $4.99. Thank you very much. Punk and Brian going to AEW is the modern day equivalent of the Outsiders jumping ship. Hope it lights a fire under WWE. The cross thing didn't help.
Yeah, that was a big mistake. We'll get into that also. So, what was it for you? Biggest moment for him?
I think, you know, the pipe bomb, the Undertaker feud, the title reign.
It's the reason why we do this podcast, the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Honestly. We never intended on doing a pro wrestling podcast. Rich was doing the comic book podcast that we would talk about some wrestling every now and then. But that pipe bomb kind of brought a lot of us back to this, obsessiveness with pro wrestling. And really, it caused a... That pipe bomb in 2011 was the beginning of that boom of the 20-teens.
Yes.
So we could, you know, that we could attribute it to that.
What time do we have to get out of here?
It was 11:33. I got to get on, but I'll get on to 12:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah. $20 donation from Tim Anger is WWE Killing Cross. He is destroying NXT, but can't stand in Raw and SmackDown. We're going to get to that. I think they made a big mistake, but they're pivoting from this. I think they realize it was a mistake. Go ahead, Rich. Where are we going?
So apparently, SummerSlam is going to be in theaters?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. So they do this. They've been doing it in Australia and in Canada, and I think in the UK they've done this before. But this is something that they've teased for like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
They've wanted to do this on a larger scale for a long time. But, you know, it's kind of difficult having all the theaters running it, and you know how much money can you generate, and how will it impact your pay per view sales and your network sales? Now it doesn't matter, right?
No.
Now it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So I'm gonna skip the other thing on the notes for a little bit later.
Okay. Rich. I think SummerSlam in theaters would be a lot of fun, especially if it was at like, let's say, like an Alamo Draft House,
yeah,
where you can sit and they'll bring you beers and stuff, and like you can, you know, have some drinks with your friends and cheer.
How about
doing
it in like sporting arenas?
That'd
be
fun.
At the Garden, you know, you could have something that day.
Mm-hmm.
You could have like in the Garden Theater, you know, a couple thousand people in these mini theaters. I think it's a great idea. And you know what? Maybe you don't want to go to the show. Maybe the show's a little too far for you, but you want to watch it with other people. I mean, that's a pretty cool environment to be in like an Alamo Draft House, having a couple drinks and eating and, you know, hanging out with a bunch of people watching wrestling in a big theater. I think that's really awesome. Money in the Bank go home rating was 2.33 million. I thought that SmackDown was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They did a very, very good job on that show. They really, I really liked it. I thought it was a really good show.
Same here.
That opening tag match.
Awesome. Roman passed the test.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Like, he passed the test. A lot of folks, like, jumped down our backs on Twitter, basically saying, like, or on the internet or whatever, basically saying, like, how could you guys like Roman so much? He's a pandemic champion. There's no way he's going to get that reaction from the live crowd.
And a lot
he
of boos. Did,
and then some, you know? He was very booable.
Yeah, no, very booable. They've done a good job. Edge got a huge reaction, obviously. It was a while ago, so we're going to skip this. But Money in the Bank, what did you think of Money in the Bank?
Dude, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great show. I was so burnt out on the weekend, I didn't even watch it on Sunday.
You watched it finally.
I watched it on Monday, and I was like, this ain't bad. This is a lot of fun. This is very good. A lot of good moments. I felt like they got a little more loose with the actual in-ring activity,
yeah,
which I appreciate.
Yeah. Wait, the guys were, everybody was feeling it.
Yeah. Oh, Ricochet. Those Ricochet spots are awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like the men's Money in the Bank match a lot. And you know what? The right guy won.
Absolutely. So I'll go into the winners. I don't want to dwell on the matches. Usos defeated Rey and Dominik in the opening on the pre-show, 11 minutes, 26 seconds to get the SmackDown Tag Team Championship.
You saw that coming, though.
Yeah. Nikki A.S.H. won the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. I think a lot of people were surprised about this.
Yeah, good for her.
AJ Styles and Omos defeated the Viking Raiders to retain the Raw Tag Team Championship. I am shocked how over that act was with the crowd. AJ and Omos.
That was a fun match.
Right?
If he somehow developed intense charm overnight, he would be Vince's wet dream.
Listen, he's a guy with very little. He's like another Braun Strowman, right? Yeah. Very little strain. And give him 2 years.
Yeah.
Give this guy 2 years. If it's going to work, it's going to work. MVP Bobby Lashley with MVP defeated Kofi Kingston in a squash.
Uh-huh.
I hope this is part of a story now where, like, maybe Kofi can't cut it in these big world title matches.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to lead to a Big E and Kofi thing, which they've wanted to do for a while. This was planned out. I know that they were playing around with this idea when Kofi had the title.
Mm-hmm.
But Lashley murdered Kofi. I mean, ragdolled him in this match. But listen, a lot of people were upset over that. Mm-hmm. But you got to also remember, like, they're treating Bobby Lashley, rightfully so, like a Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. like a Roman Reigns.
Very much, yeah.
They're not treating him... You know, and the reality is they want this guy to become, and he is. He is a dominant world champion for them. They've etched him really well.
Yeah.
Regardless if you like what they've done, I think on paper they've done a really good job of Bobby Lashley. And, you know, remember, he was shaking his ass a year and a half ago.
Exactly.
Or 2 years ago, whatever the hell that was. That was his gimmick. He was just show his glutes.
The weird cuck angle.
Like, he recovered.
Yeah.
He recovered from this.
And then some.
Charlotte Flair defeated Rhea Ripley to win the Raw Women's Championship. People were so upset over this.
Why?
They don't like Charlotte. There's a lot of people that do not personally like her.
Well, I feel like people don't see, this is like classic WWE booking, right? Charlotte beats Rhea Ripley, upsets the crowd. What's the bigger loss to cement Nikki as a champion? If she took the belt from Rhea Ripley, people would have been like, all right.
Yeah, but you took it from Charlotte.
Take it from Charlotte.
And it worked.
Right.
Big E won the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, defeating Kevin Owens, Riddle, Shinsuke Nakamura, Seth Rollins, Ricochet, John Morrison, Drew McIntyre. This was a stacked Money in the Bank. I mean, really, they really had very high quality guys in this. 18 minutes, 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Big E's the right guy to win this.
Yep.
I've been told some of the plans. I don't want to say all of them because things change, pal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been told some of the plans, and I'm hoping they go with this. I think this is the moment for him. I think a proper cash-in for Big E would be the moment. I don't want to see it. I know there's speculation that he may do it at the pay-per-view. This is my personal opinion. I don't know if that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I would like to see him like build it little by little.
Okay.
But we'll see.
So Goldberg comes out, challenges Bobby Lashley.
On Raw.
Right?
Yeah.
Lashley, I think, tweeted out, no thanks, old man. I'm not gonna fight you.
Mm.
Right? Now, imagine if Big E cashes in on Bobby Lashley, gets the title.
And he faces Goldberg and he loses.
Goldberg comes out and challenges him, and then Big E goes, no thanks, bro. I don't want to fight you. And Goldberg, that's Goldberg's thing, where like he just goes up to every champion.
Nobody
and
wants to
like,
fight him.
Nah, it's okay, old man. You know? Oh, and he's God. Like, ah, ah.
What is he doing?
Ah.
He just does that to them and just walks away. That's my Bill Goldberg. You want to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Bah,
bah. I did a weird kick. Also, I don't want to listen. Drew getting on those ladders made me very uncomfortable.
A guy with long legs like that should never climb. Kevin Nash, same boat. Roman Reigns defeated Edge to retain the Universal Championship. They went 33 effing minutes, and let me tell you, I loved the match. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel it was too long. Edge really looked great. I like this older Edge. I like him now. I like him more now than I did during his peak.
This is a Vikings Edge.
I like this guy, man. I really like this. And at the end, John Cena, big return, humongous reaction.
Oh, yeah.
No boos.
No boos.
Nobody booed this man. They were very into it, and very well done. Overall, Rich, great crowd, right?
Great crowd. Cena's return was pretty awesome. I got chills watching it. I'm like, you know, that was pretty cool. They did it right.
Yeah.
They did it right. And you know what? That was another story that you broke.
Which one?
Earlier this year, Cena versus Reigns.
Cena versus Reigns. And there's more Cena plans, by the way.
I'd say A- for the show.
Yeah.
Super hot crowd.
Listen, you know, here's the thing I didn't do. I didn't rewatch it the next day that I normally do, but I very much enjoyed it watching it during a watch along. You saw what happened, right? Something I said got twisted and ended up becoming the truth.
Oh, yeah. So can we go into that a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm going to break this down because I tried to explain this so many times on Twitter and just nobody was getting it, right?
You got a couple in you. You guys got a little twisted. We get a little loose on the watch-alongs.
Honestly, dude, I didn't even have a drink. My drink was like half full at the time.
Oh, wow.
So Deacon brought me a drink. Mm-hmm. And Harry made a joke early on. He's like, uh-oh, Andrew's going to start slipping because, you know, that's a joke. I have a couple drinks on these watch-alongs and people start asking me and I start saying stuff. And I'm like, and then he goes, yeah, but if you give him too much, he's just going to start making up absurd things. And this led into a terrible Alex Jones impersonation, challenging everybody and talking about the Bilderberg group and the Illuminati and the Bohemian Grove and the fluoride. And he's challenging Big E to the world championship. So what happened was Jonathan, our producer and lead editor,
who's on thin ice, by the way,
who's now on suspension. Jonathan has been a naughty boy. He's on suspension. He posted this, but you know the way that it came out, like me saying it's Alex Jones going into the impersonation was like at the very end, and nobody listened to it. So all they heard was there's a big debut happening on Raw, and it's a Texan,
right?
And it ended up being Keith Lee.
So it worked out in your favor.
Still worked out. But you know, like, I didn't want that because I'm like, dude, you know, like, my credibility means something. I'm not really a journalist.
No.
I don't swing and miss. And I only report things that I believe are happening. And
a lot of people think you're a journalist, which makes me giggle.
You know what? It's fine, man. Whatever your definition is, it's fine.
Didn't you go to
I'm a broadcaster.
Didn't you go to school for like car repair?
I went to the ITT technical school for engine oil change.
Didn't you?
That's where I went.
Isn't
I changed engine oil. I did take journalism though in college for the small time that I was in college.
Everybody has to take journalism in college. Listen, I think it was a situation of saying the loud part quiet and the quiet part loud.
Yes.
And it was cut off. And that's the other thing, too. We're like, people have the attention span of termites. So as soon as they saw the first bit of the clip, they didn't stick to the end of the clip.
I had people arguing with me, telling me that, like, oh, no, you're backtracking now because somebody got mad at you. You're still lying. I'm like, dude, and then that turned into Tessa Blanchard.
Yep.
Returning?
That was you.
Or debuting?
It got picked up on a bunch of news sites from your mouth.
I haven't said her name in months. I haven't said Tessa Blanchard.
Oh,
I haven't said Tessa in months. So whatever. It happens. So
if you're watching the show and you watch the watch-alongs, please watch the whole thing. Don't just tune us out.
It's a different show.
It's like, I need the news. I need scoops, you know, because that's not how it works.
I get it, man.
Sometimes
it's exciting.
You get this shit. You get this guy talking about Alex Jones and the reptilians, and then people twisting that into Tessa Blanchard will make Monday Night Raw debut, you know?
Yeah, dude, listen, it's all fun.
It is.
I love doing this. I love having fun with this. I got some crazy people on my ass now messaging me on Twitter.
Mm.
I don't want to name the person. But it's on Instagram, like it's becoming like stalking levels now.
Who, that somebody's talking to you?
Like it's getting a little weird, and I may contact somebody.
Oh yeah, these
guys.
To put
a stop to it. No. I'll deal with it. So interesting stuff.
All right.
Let's go into Raw. I want to be quick here because I do have a lot of stuff to go into. Raw, 1.9 million up from 1.6 million. Cena opened up the show, called out Roman Reigns. Cena's going to be on SmackDown tomorrow. So he wants to match at SummerSlam. That's a match setup. WWE champion Keith Lee Bobby Lashley defeated Keith Lee in a non-title match. Keith Lee's return.
Like a squish match.
You know, I didn't hate the match as much as people thought. Yeah. So there were some changes here to the card. I was told Karrion Kross is on the card. He's debuting around like 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was told that Bobby Lashley has an open challenge. So I was like, oh,
cool.
And I was told that he's losing. Okay.
Okay.
I knew he was losing. Sean and I were actually having a conversation about this, and we both had an idea that he was losing, but according to Sean, it was still up in the air. They were like going back and forth on this. And I all the credit to Sean on this. So when I was first told the Karrion Kross thing, and then I was told he was losing, I'm like, oh, it doesn't make sense. Why the hell is this guy gonna lose when they're gonna build this guy up to be a mega star? And then the Bobby Lashley thing gets announced that he's doing his open challenge. I'm like, oh, you know what? This is perfect.
Yeah.
Of course he's gonna lose, and I'm okay with this. This is what they did with the US title open challenge with Kevin Owens and everybody else. Who was it? Kevin Owens challenged them.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah. It was actually really well done. I'm like, perfect. Instead, we get Keith Lee debuting, and it was, you know, it was a burial on commentary for Keith Lee, and the match
it
didn't
really
bother
was.
Me as much, but the commentary.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, dude. Sometimes, like, again, we don't know what goes on in the back, but it might be with Keith Lee that somebody in the back just does not like him for one oddball reason or another.
Yeah.
You know? But who knows, man? And then you had the Karrion Kross debut, which was kind of cool because they announced it. They were like, NXT's Karrion Kross on Raw tonight.
Yeah.
And then who does he face in his debut match?
Jeff Daddy.
Jeff Hardy, who does not need a win at this point in his career for anything.
But you know what the justification is? It was a cheap win. He cheated.
Yeah.
But he's a former multi-time world champion.
Exactly.
So, like, but you know what I mean? Like, it just shows you, and this is the problem here, right? It shows you the lack of consistency with their champions. Like, Jeff Hardy is a mega star.
Yeah.
Mega star. One of the breakthrough. He changed the industry for thinner, smaller guys. He created an entire genre of wrestler.
Yeah, he did.
And you now have him like in this like nothing match where he does a roll up to win, and people are mad that a former world champion beat the new guy. You know what I mean? Like if it was a champion of like the caliber of like what you envision a world champion, would anybody be complaining?
Right.
No,
right.
But they're complaining because of the way it was done and who it was with. I think it was. Listen,
it's fine.
When
it's TV.
I asked about it, everybody said like, "Oh, I don't understand why everybody's freaking out over this." This was just one step in the direction that we have for Karrion Kross,
and
this is leading into something. This was, by the way, that's something that was said to me, so you can run that. It's not a thought. I just need to kind of say this, but the story is like, listen, it's one step. He didn't look weak. It was a cheap win, and now you know the plan most likely will be that he's going to murder everybody.
Well, two things. Did they face off an Impact when he was Killer Kross at all?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know if it was the same time frame.
And also, I thought it would have been awesome if Jeff Hardy showed up on NXT and beat him again. And like interrupted a promo and was like, it's me, dude.
I know. I like a Jeff Hardy.
And then beat him, and I think the internet would have exploded. But like, this is what WWE does, right? They'll take a guy who's hot, bring him a loss right up atop. I feel like sometimes we're being consciously trolled because the internet is like the third man, and WWE loves to listen to the internet only to say F you. Right?
Yeah.
Like they know what's going on. They know how people feel online, but then they'll go F you. this is what we do. This is, we're the big machine. This is what we do. Don't worry about it. He's going to get the wife entrance and all that stuff. I wonder why he didn't show up with the Scarlet entrance. Do you think because it would have been like too much?
I have an, I, somebody, and I can't confirm this, but somebody there told me that it's like, I don't know if this was his personal thought. I said this on, we're live pal, but part of it could be like Scarlet's like the urn, the power of the urn. And she's the one that's able to motivate him to become this monster.
Okay.
You know, maybe they could play it like that, where like she's like,
she's the urn.
She's the urn, the power of the urn.
We're going to make your wife the urn.
My father had this friend, this Guyanese dude named Ravo. And everybody used to heckle him and tell him he looks like Paul Bearer. And at one point, they put white makeup on his face. I swear to God, this is a real thing. At one of the parties, put white makeup on his face and drew the mustache. And he kept running around with like a heavy Guyanese Indian accent, like a West Indies accent, doing a Paul Bearer impersonation. This was like my fifth birthday.
Wow.
Or sixth birthday. I lived in a very, very avant-garde lifestyle.
You've always lived a very avant-garde. You're quite bohemian.
I'm quite bohemian. So
people, look, you tell people that you're a manager at an adult at a men's club.
I'm not a manager.
But you're really a barista. You're a very high-end barista.
Very high-end barista. And every time you tip me, I take a button off my shirt. Like that. So, all right. We're done with the Karrion Kross stuff. Okay, so this is interesting. We'll get to NXT, right? Sure. Internet lost their minds, blah, blah, blah. Raw Women's Championship main event. Rhea Ripley defeated Charlotte Flair via DQ. So Charlotte takes off, hits her with the belt, blah, blah, blah. Nikki A.S.H. cashes in with a high cross body and gets the win. 1, 2, 3. What heat, first of all. What did you think of it?
I liked it, man. You know, I like this new character that Nikki Cross has. I think it's very...
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Why they did the character?
Why?
Everybody's asking, why the hell would you do this? Fans are back. How many of those masks are you going to sell?
Yeah.
How many of those capes are you going to sell? Mm-hmm. How many of the t-shirts are you going to sell? How many of the Halloween costumes are you going to sell? Mm-hmm. How many of the action figures are you going to sell? Think of that.
Yeah.
This is exactly... This is a kid's angle. And example, my daughter, 5 years old, do you know who she loves? Two people in this company.
Braun Strowman.
Okay. And Big Show, right? My daughter's a big Show fan. I don't know why.
Huge.
She loves the TV show that he was on, the Netflix show. I have no idea why, but she loves Alexa Bliss and loves Nikki Cross.
Okay.
And the boy with the red shirt, Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
That's what she calls him. So it's a kid's angle. This is going to sell a lot of merch.
Absolutely.
100%. Not 100%. Don't grow me on that, but that's the reason. I mean, this is a marketing opportunity for Nikki Cross. And listen, how could you be disappointed for her?
Right.
She was in Sanity with this nutty gimmick, which was freaking awesome.
She was the last survivor of Sanity.
She really was. Yeah. And she came to the main roster. They did nothing with her. She did that thing with Alexa and then nothing with her. And now she's the world champion.
Pretty sweet.
This is everybody's goal, and she achieved it. She achieved the highest possibility in professional wrestling, and that's becoming the world champion. Good for her.
And apparently, she had a big hand in this gimmick too.
Good. I'm glad. I really am.
Yeah. Good for her.
NXT on Tuesday. Joe calls out Karrion Kross to open.
Oh, so good.
Regal interrupts. Go into that, Rich, a little bit.
That was so much fun. So like, Joe refereed last week's match between Gargano and Karrion Kross. Joe got laid out by Karrion Kross at the end of the match. Now you have like a pissed off Joe who's supposed to beat William Regal's enforcer, and he's basically saying like, no, this guy's gonna get his comeuppance. And you have Regal interrupting him, etc. This doesn't come back until later in the show.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you got a pretty decent NXT. Bobby Fish and Kushida beat Roderick Strong and Tyler Rust. How far do you see this Diamond Mine stuff going?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to... Somebody told me that this was not the original group.
Okay.
I can't remember who they said it was going to be. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like this is a reset and they're trying to get other people over using Roddy, which I understand doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. Guys, by the way, hit the subscribe button. We got over 200 people in the chat right now. hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. Listen, YouTube really likes subscribe and likes right now for their algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So do us the favor, hit the like button, subscribe to the podcast. We do a podcast every single week here, live on Thursdays, sometimes on Saturdays, sometimes on Tuesdays, but mostly on Thursdays. We do watch-alongs here, and we're going to be adding a couple more shows. So definitely hit the subscribe button. What else? Hit the bell. Is that what they say? Hit that goddamn bell.
Hit the bell. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
So moving on with NXT, Kyle O'Reilly beat Austin Theory. You got to defend Phantasma Mariachi Madness. Odyssey Jones defeated Andre Chase in the breakout tournament.
Yeah.
I think MG said Odyssey Jones is a Vince guy for sure.
Interesting.
Drake Maverick beat the Million Dollar Champion LA Knight, non-title match. Raquel Gonzalez beat Xia Li. Xia Li had a bit of a medical scare, apparently, but she was announced that she was okay the next day. And Karrion Kross lays out William Regal to provoke Samoa Joe.
So they are now going to do Samoa Joe, Karrion Kross.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Joe wins. Joe takes the title, and then Karrion Kross goes to, you know, murder Jeff Hardy.
There you go.
For the rest of his life, Jeff just stalks Daddy. Him. So I thought it was a decent show. So here was a big announcement. NXT officially announced 8/22. We had reported that TakeOver was going to happen the day after SummerSlam with, and a venue wasn't announced, but it's being implied that it's the CWC. So okay. They're going to be doing the Capitol Wrestling Center. This was when I was told that this is a hold location.
Okay.
If they don't have another location in store, I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for them to find a location, because think about the mass migration of people going to Vegas.
Right.
On a Saturday and then coming back. Like, are you going to do two shows? Are you going to go? Mm-hmm. You know, we're also dealing with a smaller pool of people that are willing to go to shows right now.
Exactly.
So, that's going to play a part. I would hope that they have a bigger building, but if it is a CWC and this is the last time they do it over there, that's fine. Whatever. It is what it is.
It's going to rock.
Yeah, it is what it is. Spoilers for... I'm not going to dive into the spoiler.
Let's not dive into the spoiler, but let us just say it's pretty much exactly what you think it would be.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to dive into it.
Guys, you can figure this one out for the NXT spoilers.
I don't know if we have time to go into the Impact stuff.
Well, let's quickly talk about the cool Impact stuff.
All right, go.
Jay White.
Yeah.
Jay White shows up after the main event, teases Too Sweet with Kenny. Show goes off the air as a run-in happens. Apparently, it was filmed for New Japan Strong. Whatever the end of the show was, will continue on New Japan Strong.
Okay, perfect.
I'm stoked. You have Jay White. I think he introduces Chris Bay at some point as a new Bullet Club member, which is pretty dope. It's happening, guys. It's happening.
Well, Bullet Club's making it. They're doing something with Bullet Club right now, because we even at the end of it, Dynamite, we saw a Bullet Club run in.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. Let's see. Bound for Glory promo, October 25th. AAA, AEW, New Japan all teased for a crossover.
So good.
Very, very cool.
Can't wait.
AEW last night.
Whew, what
Let's
a show.
Go into this. Actually, you know what? Let's go into the WWE story. Sure. I guess I'll go into it now, right?
I guess so. I mean, like, do you want more of a setup?
Do
you want me to ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
And this is for Survivor Series, right?
This is for Survivor Series.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Who, out of any star possible,
yeah,
who would you want to see at WWE Survivor Series?
You know, because here's the thing.
Is it somebody that rocks?
Tentatively, I was told it's in Brooklyn. At Barclays, right? Survivor Series. This was about a month, well, more than a month ago, but I confirmed that nothing has changed from a month ago. Mm-hmm. We still have some time, so I'm going to report this. I'm not reporting it with my 180% accuracy here, but I'm going to report that Survivor Series is in Brooklyn, and, you know, big name you kind of want. It's a big show in a big market.
Yeah.
You're trying to sell out that building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who better than... Hold on. I'm getting message.
You're getting message right now? They're saying, like, hey, stop this. Stop it.
Okay, there we go. No. Okay.
So, would you say... are we still going with this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you say that this person is...
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment? Yeah, I would say that this man is the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Would you say that this guy's walking tall?
He is definitely walking tall.
Would you?
He's not getting short.
He's not getting short?
He doesn't get shorty.
Yes.
Yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I would say, is expected. They're working on this. It's expected that he will show up at Survivor Series.
Pretty sweet, man.
Pretty sweet. So, you know, I feel confident that that's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not the plan and things change, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But this was, I've been teasing this for months, by the way.
I think you're going to have to repeat it for everybody.
But I could tell you that this is from three separate sources that don't have the same contact.
Mm-hmm.
I could say that. So, listen, you're getting ready. You're setting things up. Now, is he wrestling? I don't know beyond that he's there. So,
right.
I don't know beyond he's there. We still got months till November, by the way.
Exactly.
A lot could change.
It might be anything. It might be like you hear his music and the guy's at the end of the ramp. It might be the tease for the following Monday. It could be anything. It could be him promoting
something. Well, I could tell you, USA Network tentatively wants him on that Monday.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that. And by the way, he's going to go everywhere, right? This isn't like a Raw storyline.
Yeah, he's going to be on two shows.
He's going to be on everything. But tentatively, actually, I could get you the date for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
I can't get it right now, but I could get you the date for Survivor
Series. Would you say this person could successfully take you on a jungle cruise?
Yes, he can. But I want Robin Williams to take me instead. I don't want him to take me. I want Robin Williams.
That's Jumanji. You're thinking of Jumanji.
I am thinking of Jumanji. What were you thinking of?
The movie Jungle Cruise.
But he was in Jumanji, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But Jungle Cruise is the new Rock movie.
Is it? I have no idea.
That's how you watch TV.
But The Rock, by the way, Rock Roman is a WrestleMania main event.
Absolutely.
That is what's softly on paper for WrestleMania in Dallas. 100,000 people. Mm. I mean, you need the freaking Rock.
You know what would be cool?
Yeah.
If they do, and this is, I feel like they're going to do this. Did you see the end of Hobbs and Shaw?
No, I've not seen any of the Fast and the Furious movies past the third one.
Oh, you're in for a treat. Because
Tokyo Drift was the last one I saw.
You're in for a treat. Besides with the point I'm going to make, those movies get dumber and dumber and bigger and bigger.
Was Tokyo Drift second or third?
That was the second one. But no, chronologically, it's
the first.
It's out of order. Anyway, so at the end of Hobbs and Shaw, they're in Hawaii, and they have to use ancient weapons, and they're all wearing traditional skirts, and they're doing a haka. And Roman Reigns is in one of these things because he's in the movie.
Yeah.
And so is The Rock. I feel like that's gonna be your match at WrestleMania. It's gonna be the tribal chief match, and they're gonna have to wear these Samoan skirts.
I'd be cool with that, man.
And do some hakas.
I'm into it. We got a $4.99 from Ryan Martin. Again, if you want to jump the line with your super chats, go right ahead. You could with your questions, you could do a super chat and skip the line. You want to read that for me?
From Ryan Martins, any other big returns coming other than the ones we've heard? Also, how does WWE plan to pivot from the Cross Jeff match? Will he get his full entrance? I think that's what it's leading to.
Yeah, it's going to lead to that.
You know, some kind of weird pay-per-view thing.
I mean, big returns. I mean, how many people are left to return?
That's true.
You got Goldberg, you got The Rock, you got John Cena, yeah. You have Edge. Obviously, Orton's going to be wrestling, right? Another big name for them. Lesnar, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with him.
Rob Van Dam.
Big returns. I'm talking big names.
Do you think they'll squeeze that one last match out of Austin?
I don't think so. I think that ship sailed.
Yeah?
I think that ship sailed in 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot. 2012, 2013, that ship sailed. I think if there was any chance of that happening... Listen, here's a reality. Mm-hmm. If there was any chance of that happening, you would have had him on those Saudi shows.
True.
I know that.
That is true.
I know that he did some work in the ring to see how well he would do, and maybe he just didn't feel confident about it. I mean, how much money are you going to throw to this guy? Maybe he doesn't want to do it.
True.
You know, it takes a lot to get past that hump, and that was a big part of his story, that he was you know, it was very difficult for him to be out of the wrestling business, but now that he's comfortable with it, he's at peace.
I think it's psychologically too. Do you really want to come back and have a boner of a match?
No, I wouldn't want that if you're Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Any news on the Great Khali coming back? I have no idea about the Great Khali, nor do I care at all about the Great Khali returning.
Didn't he die?
No.
He's fine. That's one of my favorite jokes, by the way.
Taker coming back. Yeah, I would expect Taker to be back.
Let's see. Do you want to jump in AEW?
Yeah, let's go.
So last night's show I thought was a lot of fun. I know we're going to discuss that aspect of it and the booking aspect of it, but it opened with Chris Jericho's The Labors of Jericho. So this is the first, like The Labors of Hercules, this is the first week of The Labors of Jericho, and it's Shawn Spears. Fun match.
Yeah.
Right? Clearly Jericho wasn't going to lose this right out the gate. MJF shows up at the end of the match. He announces the next opponent, next opponent on next week's AEW.
Nick freaking Gage.
How weird is that?
It is a weird thing.
Did you pop?
You know what? I was on the train when it happened. I wasn't like, and I was like, so I knew, you know, Cassidy told me when it was happening. By the way, $50 from Jacob. Just want to say, guys, you're doing big things. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Jacob. Cheers.
Much appreciated.
If I was drinking, I'd cheers my drink to you. I thought it was interesting, very unique. But man,
He took out the pizza cutter too, and he was like,
So, and then we got Jericho later on in the show showing up as like everybody's favorite goth dad, the Painmaker. So I took an edible last night.
Oh yeah,
and I had like the funniest joke about him as like everybody's dad that wants to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't articulate the joke, and I can't freaking remember what it was, but I thought it was hysterical to myself.
I also took one of those last night, and my wife was like, you got to calm down.
I was going nuts
watching this. Because I was laughing. It's not a knock on Nick Gage. I think he's a smart guy. He is who he is, and he's making a living doing it. I think if you think about it this way. Imagine if Hunter was like 15 and he's watching AEW, right? And you walk into the room and you don't know who Nick Gage is and he's waving the pizza cutter, would you be like, hey, who's the pizza guy?
Who's that pizza guy?
Who's that pizza cutting guy? And then you have to go on YouTube and be like, oh, no. You also had Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson beating Frankie Kazarian. Good enough match.
They murdered him. Why was everybody saying Wheeler-Zarian to me? I couldn't hear because I was listening on the show, but everybody was like Wheeler-Zarian. Did they slip and call it Wheeler... Something about Zarian?
I don't know. This is Doc Allen's first singles match, too, on AEW.
Was it?
Yeah. Darby Allin with Sting beat Wheeler Yuta with Orange Cassidy. Sting, how did you feel about that face-off between Sting and Cassidy? Doing the comedy move. I never pictured Sting.
I'm one of the... I'm still not, like... The Cassidy stuff, I get it. I do. I get it. It's not my favorite stuff, but I get it. I thought the crowd loved it. So... It worked. I'm very easy when it comes to like things that don't work for me.
Yeah.
That I understand other people love. I'm not gonna crap on what you love. I thought it was silly, but it worked. You know, that worked. People got into it. What did you think?
I thought I was blown away that Sting actually did it, and I was like, yeah, this is mad fun. Good for Sting. He's not like, you know, he's pulling the veneer down a little bit. It's not like serious vigilante all the time. He could do like the wacky comedy shit. I think they were saying Wheeler-Zarian because he's got the same like beard and hair situation that you do.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. Do you know what he looks like?
Who, Frank Kazarian?
No, Wheeler Yuta.
Is that why they were doing it?
I think so. Look up what he looks like, and it's like looking in the mirror for you.
Really?
Yeah. Take a look at that guy's face right
now. He looks nothing like me.
No?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah.
You were just looking at a picture of a wheel for a second.
And he's doing the Zarian face, too. He's doing this.
Is that the Zarian face?
Yeah, when we're all disappointed, we don't like something that someone's saying, we do this. Oh, yeah. He is another one of my brothers. He's another one to add to that. Add Mansoor to it. Add Wheeler Yoda to it. Yuta to it. Add
like Wheeler Yoda.
Who else can you add? Mustafa Ali.
Oh yeah.
Add him to it. Frankie Kazarian, because we share a similar last name.
The tribe of Zarian.
The tribe of Zarian. I have my own stable.
Mm-hmm. The tribal chief. AEW Women's Championship. Britt Baker DMD with Rebel defeated Nyla Rose with Vicky Guerrero. Andrade El Idolo had a segment with Death Triangle. Chavo came out to an awesome pop, and he was there with Andrade. I thought that was a lot of fun. I think the weird back and forth between Andrade and Chavo. It was also funny, and then Andrade telling the Lucha Brothers that he's the face of the Latinos now.
I can tell you that he was not the original pick. Right?
Who was the original pick?
I think it was going to be Zelina.
Okay.
I like Chavo and him together, but my God, how many freaking managers do we have now?
Chavo's great, man. Chavo's mic work last night was phenomenal. He looked so comfortable. You had Orange Cassidy versus The Blade, and your main event of the night, IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship Texas Death Match, Lance Archer beating John Moxley. Didn't see that coming for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. What'd you think about that match?
I thought it was fantastic.
What a match.
I got a lot of people like, oh, their dome match was better. I'm like, it's like saying like, oh, you know, the WrestleMania match these two had was way better than the TV match. Yeah. Listen, I didn't think it was better. I didn't think it was worse. Right. I thought it was different and I loved every moment of it. I'm not a big deathmatch guy. I'm not a big hardcore wrestling guy, but they did everything right. I thought Moxley did a fantastic job at making this dude look like a psychopath, like Bruiser Brody style guy.
Yeah.
You know what it was? It was Funkin' Brody.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did.
Mox took that crazy bump on the chairs. Did you see that? The chairs back to back.
I couldn't believe it. I stopped it and I looked at Jess and I was like, holy, because I was home by then. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Holy moly. And another like weird teaser, at the end of the match, Hiku Leo came out from Bullet Club, who is Tama Tonga and
Tongaloa's
little brother, who's gigantic.
I'm going to ask you something.
Sure.
And this is when we talk about difference in booking, right? When we talk about, you know, WWE's booking philosophy and AEW's booking philosophy and other Japan, New Japan's booking philosophy. I think a lot of viewers now, we watch wrestling in the eyes of a WWE product.
Okay. Because
that's what we know. That's what we know wrestling is for the last 20 years with no competition. On a mainstream scale. Would WWE ever have ended that show the way that AEW did?
No.
With a unknown
guy
that nobody... I'm going to say, even that building that's a smart building, they didn't know who this dude was.
They just saw a big dude in a Bullet Club shirt.
A big dude with a Bullet Club shirt, and they pop for the Bullet Club, and they pop for New Japan. But they really don't know who this guy is. And rightfully so, but you know what? He got a freaking reaction.
Yeah.
And it made you now, if they didn't do that and they announced like, oh, next week on Dynamite, nobody's going to care.
They put him way over on commentary.
They put this guy over on commentary. They put this guy over at the final segment and a stare down. You could tell he was a little nervous, though.
Yeah.
You could tell that he was a little nervous, but fine, cool, whatever. They're giving a unique opportunity to a guy to be in a main event position, you know, challenging for a title. I thought it was freaking awesome.
Absolutely.
Great job. You know, there's other things I didn't really care for. That Britt Baker match was not great.
It was all right.
Didn't care for that. But
they have such a deep roster that you got to put people on different shows at different times, you know?
Yeah.
Great ending. Nice and bloody match. I do like how on commentary they were like, you know, you see this guy on TV and he looks so small, but up close, Hiku Leo looks gigantic, like 8 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was cool.
And we're getting a Fight for the Fallen next week, too.
Yeah, so next week's card, do you have it?
Yeah. All right. Jericho versus Nick Gage in a no DQ match. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I wonder if he's going to let him pizza pie slice him on the tongue. With the pizza
slice. What do you think Jericho's going to do? You think he's going to get nuts?
I want to see Jericho get, like, real nuts. You know, like, barbed wire bat, staple gun, nail gun. I want it to be an episode of Jackass. You have FTR versus Santana and Ortiz. That's going to be fun. Christian Cage and Jurassic Express versus Private Party and Angelico. IWGP US Heavyweight Championship, Lance Archer versus Hiku Leo. And you have an elimination tag match. The Elite. This is like a trio elimination tag match. Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, and Good Brothers versus Hangman and Dark Order. Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a solid main event. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought at the beginning of AEW this was going to be like the feud that you're vested in? Like Omega, Bucks, Gallows, and Anderson versus Hangman and the Dark Order.
Wild.
Have you ever seen yourself becoming a big fan of Evil Uno?
No, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm into the whole thing. I'm into Hangman. I think this has been great for Hangman. I think the tease has been wonderful. You know, they've done a really good job with this. They've done a really, really good job.
Also, apparently, Tony Khan will announce a major new live event.
I don't know what this is.
Okay.
So, by the way, I don't know why people are DMing me. I think we announced this a while ago. The tentative plan is Brooklyn.
Yeah. We announced that like a couple of months ago.
Yeah. You want to give a little plug on how people could fund us and support us while we get ready for the Q&A segment? Get your questions ready, boys and girls.
Absolutely. Guys, if you're in the chat room, super chat us, you know, like these donations good for a good cause, which is beers after we do the show. We appreciate every single one of you. But, you know, like we said during the whole show, if you have a question and you want to get it to the front of the line, super chat us. We're going to knock these questions out very soon. Fund us on Patreon, patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. You can check us out on Twitter. All social media, Matt Men Podcast, Andrew Zarian, BTC Rich. Follow us, subscribe to the channel, like do all that stuff that you got to do. And, you know, we're really enjoying this. We've been doing this for 10 years and now it's like, buddy, it's taken off.
It really has. The last couple of months have been unbelievable. It really has. I think it's, we're on a cool roll here. We're going to be, I'm still working on SummerSlam, by the way. I have a little issue with this.
Yeah.
I have a little issue with this. But we're going to be in Brooklyn, Jesus. We're going to be at Arthur Ashe on September 22nd for AEW Dynamite. We're also going to be at All Out in Chicago, September 3rd.
Hell yeah.
The 4th, whatever day it is, September 3rd. I think that show is going to be a blockbuster show.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be awesome. Do you think somebody that rocks is going to show up at that show?
No. No. Dwayne is not showing up at AEW.
I was trying to think of the rest of his movies. I was like,
but it's me, the reptilians.
Is it? Oh my
god, all men.
That's a pretty good Alex Jones.
I can't do it. I destroyed my voice for two
years. Alex Jones is also a comparable
Larry King,
Nixon.
Oh, I am not. Yeah, it is a pretty good Nixon.
It's a comparable Nixon. Yeah. Taylor Jones, $10. Thank you. No relation to Alex Jones, I'm assuming. And she says, "Cheers, guys."
Cheers and fight me in the chat. $5.
Thanks, bud.
Hey guys, do you think the Punk return is going to actually happen, or is this one of those classic CM Punk is returning things? I don't know. I've heard nothing on CM Punk other than Sean Ross Sapp's report, and Sean generally has a terrific track record, so I could just go based on that. I personally don't know much about the CM Punk return thing.
Got it.
I would imagine that. You know what's interesting? WWE did want AJ for something a while ago. I can't remember what it was.
Mm.
Can't remember.
Would you say that this person is the King of Scorpions?
No. Mike D199, do you think Becky returns to Raw or SmackDown? Becky's returning any day. Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. I said this the other day, and I think I repeated it. I repeated what someone in WWE told me. They're like, oh, yeah, it's like any day now.
Any day now.
So I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's this week, next week, the following week, but it's going to be soon.
They're taking a pregnancy approach to her return.
They are.
Any day now.
Dude, and I got to tell you, she's in remarkable in-ring condition right now.
We got $5 from That Bean. Cheers to my favorite guys from Queens. Keep up the great work. Thanks, bud.
Nice.
We got Tim Anger, longtime supporter of the show. Thanks, Tim. $20. Is WWE killing Cross? He is destroying NXT. But can't stand in Raw and SmackDown.
We're in a Q&A segment, right?
Yes.
I don't think they're killing him. I think it was one time. This was the first time he showed up, and we'll see what happens next week. I don't want to say that they ruined this guy after 1 week. And we listen, at the end of the day, Bobby Lashley was shaking his ass and was in a cuckolding angle, and now he's the world champion. So, you know, ruin is a very strong word.
Yeah, ruin is hard. Let's see. Do you want to jump into the rest of the Q&A?
Yeah, let's do
it. Do you want to do the Twitter stuff first or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's a lot on Twitter.
All right. We got about 25 minutes.
Okay. From Kuro Metariko. Got any scoops?
Oh, stop. The whole show.
From MannyBoy3298. Can y'all confirm Punk or Danielson stuff? We've been talking about it all show.
All show. I cannot. I personally cannot confirm it, but I've heard the same rumblings, and people within these companies are now talking. So.
From at Michael Wayne 360, are any rumors regarding WWE full October dates and Royal Rumble 22 dates and location?
Can you read that again?
Are there any rumors regarding WWE's full October dates and the Royal Rumble 2022 date?
I don't have full October dates. I do have this was prior to the schedule going out, what the schedule is for like the touring. I know that Barclays was a heavy contender to hold Survivor Series. Beyond that, I don't have any other October dates.
I got a couple of questions from our buddy Vibor.
Vibor!
Apart from Cena, Goldberg, and Edge, are there any further part-timers scheduled to wrestle or appear at SummerSlam? Who could host it apart from Cardi B?
I don't know if Cardi B's hosting it anymore.
Dua Lipa.
She's pregnant.
Both of them pregnant?
No. Cardi B is. Once upon a time, the sucking it.
Oh boy.
That's every song, right?
Yeah.
Once upon a time, I was sucking it, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that like every lyric in a Cardi B song?
Shawn Michaels.
Suck it.
Do you think John Cena's Money in the Bank pop was the loudest he's ever gotten in his whole career?
I think, I don't know if it was the loudest. People were, I put a poll up and I said, is this louder than the 2008 pop at the Garden when he showed up after like he was supposed to be gone for like 13 months and he showed up in like a week?
Yeah.
It was loud, but there were plenty of boos because that building wanted Triple H to win.
Yeah.
That Rumble. So I would say that this was the most unanimous babyface pop that he had.
You think they're piping in extra audio?
I don't know. I didn't think. SmackDown, everybody was saying that they did. So there was some... I don't know if there was sweetening. Maybe there was a little bit of sweetening. I'm not totally against sweetening.
Yeah, sweet it up a little bit.
You know what? You know every wrestling show is sweetening the audio. You know how you do that? You pot it all the way up.
Mm.
And you place my... You know who was the king of sweetening the audio?
Paulie.
Yeah. Yep. Paulie. You can make a building with 10 people sound like you had 10,000.
Do you think the Olympics going to hurt the WWE rating?
I'm very curious about that because I spoke to a friend of mine that works at one of the networks, and they said that the anticipation from some people is that the Olympics are not going to have the oomph that they did this year due to all the restrictions, and it's gotten politicized and the restrictions and everything going on. I think a lot of people are turned off to it. But I don't think of course it's going to hurt them a little bit. I don't know to what capacity.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about P1s and P2s?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to go to sleep. Man. Okay. You want to see me go to sleep? You talk about them P1s and P2s.
Do you want to talk about analytic indicators?
Talk about them analytic indicators. You some bitch. Imagine if that guy, instead of being a wrestler, ended up being like a numbers guy.
A numbers guy?
Yeah.
We're down. Sales are down.
Sales are down. We got to pump up the P2s. Hey, Andrew and Rich, do you want to see CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan next year at Double or Nothing?
God, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely. Fifth Generation Carney, do you think Tony Khan can squash the beef between Colt and CM Punk? I don't think there needs to be mediation. They're adults.
I don't even know if they have squashed it, if they didn't squash it. I thought that whole thing was silly.
Yeah.
It's pretty cut and dry. Colt Cabana got sued because of something CM Punk said on the show.
Right.
You know, I don't know. That's a good lesson for podcasts, old podcasters.
Yeah. Let's see. From Pratik, when is Brock Lesnar coming back? But he said, when Brock Lesnar coming back?
they're going to have him back as soon as they could have him back.
When Brock Lesnar?
I got to tell you, I had no idea Brock Lesnar was such a mega star in India.
Yeah, dude.
Because almost every single Brock Lesnar question is coming from viewers in India. You know, by the way, Indian market, tremendous market. Do you know how many people annually watch WWE in India?
All of them.
Every single one. Billions. It's over 350 million viewers annually to WWE product in India. They get about 3 to 4, anywhere from like, let's say 3 to 5 million viewers a week.
Wow.
For I think Raw. That's a Raw number. So... interesting.
Let's see what we got here. Any news on Becky Lynch? Like we said, this is from Itchy Boy Kevin. Like we said, it's any day now. Apparently,
it's as soon as they've it's time, because they do have a plan. It's just a matter of when. So maybe you're gonna get a match at SummerSlam. I don't know.
True. From Frank Agradia, what about Tessa Blanchard, Andrew?
I never want to hear her name ever again. I have no idea. I'm gonna tell you this. If WWE was signing her, they would have signed her already. I don't think AEW is signing her. I could be wrong about this. I don't know. Here's the God's honest truth. I don't know. I know that there was a lot of indicators that she was possibly going to WWE, but there's also a lot of people saying that it's an impossibility. So I have no idea, and I'm not even... I've gotten asked about Tessa Blanchard so many times that I don't even want to like dig into it anymore.
From Matthew Banson, what about AJ Lee? Any chance she goes to AEW? I feel like she could bring a lot to that women's
division. I think so too, but I don't know if she wants to wrestle. Who knows? It's been many years. Yeah. Listen, taking that much off time off, you grow and you change, and sometimes you don't want to do it anymore. You want to do something else, you know?
Any news, this is from Orion, any news on the Mae Young Classic that was supposed to happen last year, will it happen this year?
No, but I know that they are planning on doing a Queen of the Ring.
How bad did Peacock F up on Sunday night?
Oh, bad. You didn't see it, right?
No, because on Monday, the replay was fine.
The men's Money in the Bank was unwatchable. Just like in and out. No, you couldn't watch it. The whole thing was almost ruined.
Hey, Andrew, why India not having AEW Dynamite?
I don't know. Maybe they haven't worked the TV deal yet.
From Shocker 123, how many matches do you think are going to be on SummerSlam? At least 10.
About 40?
45
Well, no. They're going to end the show early. Remember, they are planning on ending the show with enough time for you to go to the Pacquiao fight.
Right. Okay.
So, I don't know. What time does it start?
It'll probably start at 7, right?
No.
7 to 10?
No, remember, it's early. Over there, it's early.
Oh, that's right.
3-hour time difference.
4 in the afternoon?
So I forgot what time they start, but they're start
4 or 5 in the afternoon, because if it's 4 there, it's going to be 7 here. So yeah. That's probably it. Brendan, any rumor on a potential Adam Cole call-up? At this point, if he never goes to the main roster, I just want to see him in AEW.
I've heard nothing right now.
All right. Last question. What do you think?
Yeah.
Will NXT be part of Survivor Series this year? And will it rock?
Survivor Series will rock this year. I don't know if NXT is going to be part of it. I don't know how the plan is changing for Survivor Series. I don't have the concept. MG Geek, all good. No worries at all. Don't worry about it whatsoever.
Mike D, $4.99. If AEW gets Punk and Bryan, do you think they can move Dynamite to Monday to compete with Raw?
No, I think that would be a huge, stupid mistake.
We've seen what happens when that happens.
Here's the thing, though, about wrestling. You don't need to compete on the same night anymore.
No.
Like, the viewership is so different now, where, like, AEW weekly does around, like, 1.2 to 1.4 million viewers.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, like, with DVR numbers and everything, like, I don't know how many people pass through, but I know for SmackDown, it's about 5 million people pass through SmackDown weekly to watch the product. I don't know what their plus all their total combined DVR is, but I don't think they want to jeopardize that. You know, why would you split your audience?
That's true.
You know, and I don't think it's smart.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for The Rock to show up at Survivor Series, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll apply his central intelligence?
Oh, I think so. I think he's going to do all of his characters.
He's going to do, he's going to be Maui from Moana?
He's going to be Maui from Moana.
That'd be amazing.
Moana, he's going to be all the characters.
The guy from Skyscraper?
Skyscraper? Regarding the India TV deal, Tony Schiavone actually said it's almost set and about to happen in October. Soon back in October. So I don't know. I don't know what's happening. And also, I think we discussed this. SummerSlam is going to be airing in movie theaters. For the first time, and I think this is going to be something that WWE wants to continue doing. They've been wanting to do this for over a decade now. When we going to get a different stage set for Dynamite? I have no idea. I haven't heard that they're planning on changing it. How many of those are P2 viewers, though? Kidding. The Rock wrestling at Survivor Series? No, I don't believe so. No, don't quote me on it. All I know is that he tentatively on paper the plan was to have him there. Now watch them not do it.
Just despite you?
Just despite me.
Specifically.
No, listen, I could only go based on what was said to me. This was said to me by three different people. One within WWE, one from USA, and one from Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
That they knew about this.
Would that be our biggest get as far as an interview?
Dwayne?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He's the biggest star in the world. There's nobody a bigger actor than that. It's like saying like you got Schwarzenegger at the peak of his career.
What would you ask him? First question.
I would ask him what his favorite match is.
Yeah.
That he's ever watched.
That he's ever watched.
That he's ever seen. Yeah.
Can you do a Rock impression?
No, I can't.
It's hard, right?
I could do it.
Okay.
You want me to do it?
I'm ready.
Hey, it's me, The Rock. Listen, me at De Blasio. Do something about the garbage here.
Come on.
Will John Cena continue after SummerSlam? I think so. I think it'll be around. Can you see The Undertaker having one more match? I don't want to, but possible. But I know that they're gonna bring him out for sure for some of these shows. What happened to Randy Orton? Is he injured? Did I miss something? I don't know where he is.
Ooh, you know what would be a good return? Batista.
Oh, this is a great question. Jason, will we have to be fully vaxxed to enter Barclays Center in November? I don't think so. Know that. I don't know what Barclays policy is. That's a great question, but I mean, that's an easy thing to know. If you go on, I mean, I could do it too. You go on events, you could see that if they're requiring a vaccination or a test. I know that nothing is required for Yankees or Mets right now. You don't even have to have a PCR. You can just walk in.
Yeah, you just walk right in and start licking everything.
The policy for the Garden is not a state policy or a city policy. It's their own policy. It's a Jimmy Dolan policy that he's put on to every one of his venues. It's an MSG thing. So I don't know what Barclay is planning on doing in November. You know, we got some time yet.
It's a G thing, baby.
Listen, I don't know what MSG is going to continue doing moving forward. You know, when they start seeing that they're not selling out, and how expensive it is to run the venue, the Garden. Maybe they'll drop it. Maybe they don't. I have no idea. What's next for Keith Lee? Will he be at SummerSlam? I have no idea.
Yeah.
No clue. All right. Time to wrap it up. How did John Cena escape the Firefly Funhouse? That is a question that I've been wondering.
He jumped real hard.
And maybe he jumped really hard. Like he just burst it through the walls, the ceiling. All right. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Appreciate every single one of you. If you enjoy the show, do us a favor. Subscribe to us here on YouTube. The podcast is everywhere. Listen, I know you guys watch on YouTube, but go to your favorite podcast app, right? Search Matt Men Podcast and hit the subscribe button. Give us the review. We love you guys. Patreon.com/Matt Men Podcast. If you enjoy the show, you can fund us there as well. You can fund us here on the Super Chat. And we have a lot more coming. We'll see you all next time. Later. Take care.